This is the interview of James Victor Rowney, a U.S. naval officer during the time of World War II. What were your first impressions of Hitler?
Well, I think my impressions were the same as most military people, that instead of suffering a long war where many millions of people are killed, we ought to just go in there and shoot the guy. Well, that's what I think we ought to do with this Hussein fella, you know, some way or another. And why have all the Iranian people suffer for just this one guy who's a nut?
Who knows? Seems like a logical idea. How do you think we should have handled Hitler, other than, do you think we should have just shot him, or do you think there was a
better way? Well, that's what I'm saying. I think we should have some stealth intelligence go in there and shoot him.
Did you agree particularly with FDR's approach to the war and during
it? Sure. I think he did a great job. Although I say I was mostly in the Pacific, and most of the accomplishments of FDR were concerned with the invasion of Europe. Okay.
What kind of things did he do? Do you know? What kind of plans or, like, with the conferences?
Did FDR do?
Yeah. What kind of stuff do you know?
Well, I think mainly he built up the industrial base in a hurry. And we poured out thousands of airplanes and thousands of munitions and tanks and weapons of war. And he got the country on a war footing in a massive hurry. Even one of the Japanese supreme commanders of the Navy said after Pearl Harbor, he said after the Pearl Harbor attack, and we read this in articles, of course, about the history of these Japanese admirals. The quote was, "I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant."
Interesting. Did you know any Jewish families during the war?
Did I know what?
Any Jewish families?
No, but we had the Jewish people on our ship and in the crew, and certainly there was no distinction of any kind of difference between us. And we of course had no knowledge of any of the concentration camps in Europe, because we were kind of isolated, and we certainly didn't get newspapers. Now and then we got some magazines, but that was it.
Hmm. How did you find out about the concentration camps? Did you find out later, like after the war?
After the war, mainly, yes. And so not before, certainly. And as I say, I believe most people in the United States, even during the war, didn't even believe the reports of the concentration camps.
Hmm. Do you think that was because they were just, like, so terrible? And
well, yes, I think that they believed that they're just stories and rumors. I mean, they didn't think that such atrocities were going on.
These next questions are directed towards Dorothy Rowney. What did the community do to help the soldiers during the war?
They all went to work. I mean, all the women and young women, and worked in the aircraft factories. And I worked at a North Island Naval Air Station. And also, we put up with rationing. If you've never lived that way, you ought to try it. I mean, like, you could buy one pair of shoes a year or something like that. And they rationed butter, and they rationed meat, and we carried ration stamps around.
And gasoline.
And gasoline.
And new automobiles. You couldn't buy a new automobile.
So that was mainly, you know. mainly our war effort. And this all went on until I was married in 1943.
Well, I have a story about automobiles, too. I mean, I came home from the war and bought a new automobile because I had a priority, and it was a mentioned this automobile was a 46 Mercury, for instance, and after I was driving it well, I found that it was built in 1942 and it had been sitting on the lot for 4 years. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, sounds like you got gypped pretty bad. How were you kept informed about the war throughout?
Well, I was very interested because I was engaged to my husband. So I really read everything I could, and I worried. And I, you know, if a ship was sunk, I wondered if it was the Enterprise. So we kept ourselves, you know, read everything we could.
And Uncle Vic, where were you, or who told you about Pearl Harbor?
I was graduated early from the Naval Academy in February of 1941, and I was assigned to this aircraft carrier called the USS Enterprise, CV-6. And she left the States in April of 1941, and we went on various training missions. And in November of 41, we had a task of carrying a Marine fighter squadron out to Wake Island. We thought this was just another mission that we were part of our training. But no, actually, the high command had done an emergency basis to get this Marine squadron ready to bolster the defenses of Wake Island. So the Enterprise left Pearl Harbor with the Marine squadron in late November, and our mission was successful in delivering the squadron to Wake Island and getting them based there. Then on the way home, we met some heavy storms, and we were delayed in getting in for that weekend, which was the weekend of the December 6th and 7th. And we were all mad because we wouldn't get liberty on Saturday the 6th. So Sunday morning, we were still about 100 miles out, and we launched the air group unarmed into Pearl Harbor. The pilots, as they arrived, right in the middle of the Japanese attack. And some of them came back and got their airplanes armed, and some of them tried to land at Pearl Harbor and were shot down by our own forces. So we learned, shortly after we'd launched our planes, a message from the fleet commander at Pearl Harbor: Pearl is under attack, and this is no drill. So we were all astounded, of course. But my admiral on board the ship, Admiral Halsey, had the impression that this was happening, because he had given us an order a week ahead of time that if you fellows on the guns see any submarines or anything, just shoot and don't ask anybody, just start shooting. So there was a feeling among the high command that something was going to happen. And I don't think anybody, however, expected an attack on Pearl Harbor. And that was a total surprise.
What exactly, was Wake Island attacked at all?
Wake Island was attacked, and that Marine squadron put up a big fight. But they probably were all destroyed or taken prisoner.
And what were your impressions about the bombing of Pearl Harbor?
He just said it, I guess.
Well, my impressions were it was a well-planned Japanese attack, and they got away with it because they really surprised us. But as the Japanese commander said in his future memoirs, which we read after the war, I'm afraid we've awakened a sleeping giant, which turned out to be the fact, because it was then that the president really started, well, I suppose he had started ahead of that for the European thing, but really started turning out more ships and more aircraft.
Did you agree with the immediate declaration of war against the Japanese?
Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely.
And why?
Why?
Was it just based on the bombing of Pearl Harbor and what they did and all that?
Oh, sure. It was based on the bombing of Pearl Harbor. They sank about 4 battleships that were in the harbor and several other ships, and there must have been 1,000 sailors lost or killed right there at Pearl Harbor.
Do you know any people that might have disagreed with that?
Not many. Or hardly any, I would say, maybe. Certainly not of my friends.
Do you know anybody that was killed in action?
Yes, many people. Some of my classmates, and some of my classmates were on the Arizona, and some of my classmates were on the Nevada, and they were injured.
And on the Yorktown?
And on the Yorktown, which was sunk. I have a friend who was on the Yorktown when it was sunk at Midway, who just lives here in Saratoga. And, of course, he survived, but it was quite an experience.
How has that affected you, like, throughout the war and throughout your life, knowing these people?
Well, that was the first war I was in. I've been in 3 wars. So, actually, the Korean War was after that, and then the Vietnam War, which I actually didn't fly in, but I was in an administrative position and an operational section. But how did I feel?
Yeah, how did it just...
I'm glad I'm still here.
And did either of you know anything about the Japanese internment camps during this time?
No, I think it was the wrong thing for us to do in this country because there were many loyal people.
You have a good friend who was a prisoner. Charlie.
He was a prisoner.
Yeah.
That's not the internment. He's talking about the internment camps here in the country, in the U.S.
Oh, that.
I think, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was too young.
I would think that was the wrong thing to do, and... it was just an emotional thing, I think, that swept the country in doing that. And there were many, of course, there were many Japanese in Oahu, too, in Hawaii. And many were loyal people to the U.S. How did they distinguish? They didn't distinguish the difference. They just rounded up everybody, which I think is not correct. Now, I have a friend after the war who was taken prisoner during the war that after the war we flew over the prison of war camps in Japan. We flew over and dropped soap and candy bars and various things like that. from airplanes, from a low level sweep across the internment camps. And of course, the prisoners were out there waving at us and everything, because the guards had all run away at that time. surprise, I had a friend over to dinner here a few years later here in Mountain View, and we were going through our war pictures and albums, and I showed him this picture of a thing I had taken from the airplane dropping some candy bars on this prisoner of war camp, and he says, "That's the camp I was in." So that was still strange. Okay, next.
Where were you when you heard about the bombing of Hiroshima with the nuclear?
Oh.
I was at sea on the carrier off the coast of Japan, attacking various sections of Japan in various raids on aircraft factories and things like that. Transportation. And as I say, after the war was over, and this was probably around the ...1948-49 period, I had a chance to fly over Hiroshima. In fact, I played golf at the Hiroshima golf course. But it was still just looked like a deserted junkyard at that time. The whole city did.
Do you think there was possibly a better means to ending the war? Do you think you could have gotten away without using the bomb?
No, I don't. I really think if we'd have gone into the invasion part, that it would have been a mess. And there have been many, many more lives lost. So I think that was a good scheme, and for a change, we were able to keep something secret for a while until it happened.
On that same token, with the invasion, it's been estimated that there would have been another 1 million American lives lost if they'd invaded the Japanese islands, the home islands. Do you think that's a possibility? I mean, do you think...
Well, I don't. I would question the numbers, but I don't really know.
Right. Where were you when you heard about the Japanese surrender?
The surrender?
Yeah.
I was on a parade flight over the Missouri. Was it the Missouri? The surrender thing was in the... And I have a big picture showing you that. So I was still on board the carriers off the coast of Japan. And we all had a big flyover where the treaty was signed on the battleship. I think it was the Missouri. I'm not sure.
What were your initial thoughts when you first heard it? Were you, like, really happy or...
Like, well, I was... my initial?
Yeah.
Of course. We were all happy.
Yeah, is it like a relief kind of thing? Like,
well, okay, sure. And we had people... killed the day before, and in certain raids, people in the squadron that were making attacks and that were shot down or something, and that was just a terrible thing to say that they were so close that they would have survived. It had been another day, but I think the surrender news came very early in August, and I had a little other bit of thinking that came into play at that time. I just got a letter from Doty, and our son John was born in late July.
Just out of curiosity, on a side note, what positions did you hold during the war? Before you mentioned you were a gunner.
In the early part of the war, I was on the guns on the flight deck of the Enterprise. That was for about 2 years, from 1941 until 1943. And then in 43, I was ordered to flight training, and Doty and I went to Pensacola, and first we started in Dallas for 3 months, and then we went to Pensacola, and to Melbourne, Florida, for our flight training, which took about a year. So in 44, the new air groups were being formed, and we joined an air group that trained in New England. So we were in Quonset Point, we were in Massachusetts, I mean.
Rhode Island.
We were in Rhode Island. We were in the app on the forgotten the name of it. We were in Massachusetts for training, and we left there in the midwinter and drove across country to join our ship in San Francisco in early 45. And our squadrons arrived in the war area off the coast of Japan right after the Iwo Jima invasion. And so we were in the latter part of the war, and the attacks on Japan from June, July, and August. And then the war ended about mid-August. So I was an executive officer of a fighter squadron at that time on the Yorktown.
Did you ever actually get to fly in the war, like on a mission, like a reconnaissance?
I flew on missions every day.
Like, aside from training? Like.
Oh, yes, that's what I said. I flew on missions over Japan every day from about early June to mid-August of 1945.
And just the last question here is, if you had any impressions about the war that you were going to leave to my generation, what would they be?
Keep a well-trained military force ready at all times. Be able to handle all the hot spots that we're having around the world. I know this is expensive, but technology is playing a large part now in doing the job, and I think we should put as much money as we can into the research effort of technology for military means. And there's a lot of fallout from that into commercial production, particularly in the space research and military research.
All right.
Good.